All right, so Shannon Sharp has had enough of Skip Bayless-ish. Well, I don't know if he has or has not, but I do know that Shannon Sharp will not be returning to Undisputed or Fox Sports. Because after the NBA Finals, that's going to be his last, going to be his last day. Well, it depends how long the finals go. The finals go to 7 games. He's gonna be there longer. If it goes to a sweep, he's gonna not gonna be there long. All right. Many people have speculated that Shannon Sharp is leaving because Skip Bayless keeps cutting him off, doesn't give him a chance to finish, and how Skip Bayless, accused Shannon Sharp of just being a hater whenever he criticized Tom Brady. And he belittled Shannon Sharp's 3 championship rings that he won as a two as a Denver Bronco and one as a Baltimore Raven. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think that those are the reasons why Shannon Sharp is leaving. I really don't. I do not think those are the reasons he are leaving. He is leaving. He is leaving because that's Skip Bayless, man. Like, that's Skip. Not saying Skip is wrong in what he was saying. Not saying that Skip was right in what he was saying. I mean, but that's Skip Bayless. Because the way I look at it, Shannon Sharp accused Kwame Brown of the same thing that Skip Bayless accused Shannon Sharp of. For example, Kwame Brown gave a criticism of LeBron James. And Shannon Sharp, he took it personal, at number one, as if it was directed at him. But he took it personal the same way Skip Bayless takes any negative criticism about Tom Brady. That's how Shannon Sharp feels whenever there's negative criticism on LeBron James. Oh, you a hater. He's saying that Kwame Brown is a being a hater and he's a bust. Well, the thing about it is, bust or no bust, Kwame Brown actually had some legit criticism right there. I mean, it was a lot better than Shannon Sharp saying his criticism of Russell Westbrook. Well, he was criticizing not Kwame Brown, but Jaylen Brown, and he said that he found somebody who has worse ball handles than Russell Westbrook is Jaylen Brown. Number one, Russell Westbrook is never considered in the bottom of ball handlers. Okay, Russell Westbrook can handle the ball very, very well. Okay, so I don't know what Shannon Sharp is talking about on that, but I don't know. Maybe that's why he's leaving because he probably realizes it's like, all right, man, some of this basketball analysis is just too much. I don't know, but and you know what? More than likely, it probably has something to do with contract or something, with money. He probably feels that Skip. He probably feels like he deserved to get paid the same amount as Skip or close to what Skip is making. And I can understand that. I mean, because Shannon Sharp is very pivotal to that show. He's very pivotal to that show. So who knows? But it makes you wonder, okay, so if Shannon Sharp is gone, what happens to the show? What happens to the show? I mean, do they become. Do they set it up the way it is, like on First Take, where they have different people coming in to debate Stephen A? I mean, of course, we see Kendrick Perkins on there. We see Jay Williams on there. We see JJ Redick on there. Kimberly Martin, and we see them on there. But Mad Dog, we see him on there. But everybody is there on a different day. It's not anything consistent how the typical First Take format used to be, where it was. First, it was Skip and Rob Parker, then Skip and Stephen A, then Stephen A and Max Kellerman and Will Kane. Now, over there in Undisputed, it's always been Skip and Shannon. Now, the moderator has changed a few times. At first, you started off with Joy Taylor, then they brought in Jenny Taft, and then after Jenny Taft, they brought in Janelle, who are Hey, I feel like all three of them, they did a real good job as moderators. So how do you change the format? I mean, are they going to change the format? Or are they just going to bring in another host to come in to go back and forth with Skip? I mean, a list of names who are possibilities that I think that could that could step into the picture. I don't know. I could see Jalen Rose. I know Jalen Rose called him Water Pistol Pete Jr. or whatever back in the day, about 10 years ago on ESPN. But you know, I could see that being on there because Jalen Rose is real good. It's real good. Like his basketball analysis is awesome. You know, but I can see them two going back and forth. I can see reuniting with Stephen A again. Reunite and it feels so good. I mean, there's no beef between the two, not that I'm aware of, but hey, if Vin Diesel and The Rock can get back together, hey, Stephen A and Skip Bayless can get back together, right? So I think that'll be pretty cool. You can see them back together. I mean, hey, that would be phenomenal. You know, that'll be phenomenal because it's been a while since we had those two back together. And, you know, Skip and Shannon has, I believe, have such real good chemistry. And the fact that, you know, they bought out his, they allowed him to do a buyout in his contract. So I would think that they have a potential replacement for him coming up, I believe. So I think it's possible it could be Stephen A. I'm down with that. But here's the thing. Would it be Stephen A going to Undisputed? Or would it be Skip Bayless returning to ESPN? That's interesting. That would be interesting. We have to see about that. I'm gonna have to look up to see when is Skip Bayless' contract expiring. But I think he just re-signed a contract last year, I believe, or the year before. It seems like it wasn't too long ago when he signed like an 8-9 million deal. Let's see, JJ Redick. I could see him going back and forth with JJ Redick. That would be interesting. That would be the pretty interesting dynamic, those two. Very interesting dynamic. Like JJ Redick. See, JJ Redick is still fresh off retirement too, so he has a lot of seriousness in him about the game where it's like he's not saying things just for hot takes or whatever. You know, he's dead ass serious on a lot of stuff. So I think that'll be pretty interesting. Who else? Gilbert Arenas. Hey, Gilbert Arenas, I'm gonna tell you something. I don't agree with a lot of Gilbert Arenas takes, but he comes up with some real good attention-grabbing headline type takes. I'm not gonna lie. Gilbert Arenas is real good at that. And I can see him and Skip Bayless going at it. I can see him going at it. So I think that'll be pretty cool. Who else? Emmanuel Acho. You know what? I think Emmanuel Acho most likely is going to be the choice. I really do. It's like, I mean, they're doing whatever they can to like put him out there, you know, to make him to try to make him the star or the next big thing over there at Fox Sports. I mean, I think he's all right, you know. I think he's all right. I don't agree with a lot of his stuff because a lot of his stuff you could tell it's like, all right, you just saying stuff just to say it. I mean, it doesn't seem authentic. It sounds like he doesn't even really believe in what he's saying, but he's just saying it just to be difficult, you know. So I think there's a certain level of like entertainment to this stuff, to where our believability, to where it's like, okay, you really don't believe that. Like he doesn't, I don't think he sell his points that good, you know. But he had a book, I think that was on the New York Times. I think it was a bestseller. I mean, but like I say, he's an up and comer over there. Well, not up and comer, he didn't came up. I mean, you know, so I'm pretty sure, you know, they didn't bring him from ESPN over here for nothing. I mean, they gave him Marcellus Wiley's show. Marcellus Wiley and I'm gonna say Jason Sehorn, Jason Whitlock shows, which was used to be Speak for Yourself. Now it's just Speak. Another person I can see on there is Joy Taylor. Maybe Joy Taylor comes back. You know, they have a female element to it. And Joy Taylor comes back and says, okay, I'll go back and forth with you, Skip. I'll go back and forth with you. Like that's gonna be pretty cool. You know, because even as a moderator, she'll chime in and she'll get her points across. So I can see I can see that happen possibly. All right, who knows? Maybe they bring back Kristen Leahy. I haven't seen her in a while. What happened to Kristen Leahy? Kristen Leahy. I don't know. All right, you know what? Hey, maybe Tony Gonzalez comes up. I thought about Tony Gonzalez because when Shannon Sharpe retired, like Tony Gonzalez came in and he was like the next big thing after Shannon Sharpe, and he broke Shannon Sharpe's records. All right. Then when Shannon Sharpe was on CBS, doing the NFL show on Sundays, after Shannon Sharpe left, in came Tony Gonzalez. Now, I don't know whether or not if Sharpe, left before they brought in Tony Gonzalez, or if they was going to bring in Tony Gonzalez anyway, and then that pushed Shannon Sharp out. I'm not sure. I'm not sure on that. You know, but that would be interesting to see Tony Gonzalez coming in after Shannon Sharp right there. And who knows? Maybe he might bring better ratings. I don't know. That'd be pretty interesting. But yeah, it's been a real good run. I'll tell you that. I mean, I enjoy watching the show. At times, it can be very irritating because they talk about the same thing, the Dallas Cowboys and LeBron James and Tom Brady. But, you know, you talk about what the people are going to pay attention to. And apparently, most folks, that's what those are the subjects that they wanted to hear. So I can't knock that at all, man. Can't knock that at all. But we shall see what's going to go down with that. But either way it goes, I think Skip is still going to be successful. I think Shannon Sharp, whatever he's pursuing, I think it's going to still be successful. I believe he's still going to do his podcast, Club Shay, which I think is a real good podcast. And I don't know. Oh, no, I'm trying to think, where could I see Shannon Sharp going? I mean, maybe he goes to ESPN and it'll be him and Stephen A. Or I heard somebody say that he's going to have his own podcast, his own show on Clutch Sports, which makes perfectly good sense. I mean, he speaks highly of LeBron James a lot. So, but I will, you know, to be honest with you, though, I would believe that I think whatever Sharp is going to do, he's going to still have the Club Shay podcast, but I also believe that he's going to do something that's more focusing on football, really. Because I really believe a lot of his basketball takes, I believe the last couple of years, I think some of his basketball takes are like, I don't know, it just seemed like more fanboyish type stuff. It doesn't seem like more true analytical type stuff when it comes to basketball. I mean, now football, hey, yeah, he knows football. You know, I don't think he has to do a lot of studying when it comes to football. Let's see, basketball. And with him doing other stuff, okay, you got to make sure, you know, you got to study basketball. And it's like, it's certain things, it's based on what he says, it doesn't sound like he knows what he's talking about, okay? That Russell Westbrook handles being bad, that right there, listen, now if he would have said that as far as decision-making, as far as certain passes and turning the ball over, okay, but he said handles. Nah, Russell Westbrook has real good handles, you know? Certain times when he's defending LeBron James, he'll say, yeah, LeBron was making the best basketball play. No, if the game is on the line, the ball needs to be in the best player's hand. He or she needs to be shooting the ball. You pass the ball if you can't get a shot, okay? Don't pass the ball and say, oh, we make the best basketball play. No, it wasn't. Greatest player trumps the best basketball play. I repeat. The greatest player shooting the ball trumps the best basketball play if it's passing the ball away. Okay? That's what it is. Oh, with two defenders on him. Okay? You great. You're the freaking Superman of this, man. You're supposed to be able to do this. You know? But he gives LeBron James an out too many times. So, you know, it is what it is. I can kind of see him if he goes that route where he's focusing on football. I could see him going to like Amazon. You know, Amazon is paying people a lot of money. I heard, you know, for football and their football content. And I think they're going to have Thursday and Friday night football games, I believe. So I could see him going to go do that. But wherever he goes, I think he's going to shine. I'm looking forward to seeing what him and Skip Bayless, what they're going to do after they are separated from each other. All right, share your thoughts and let me know. What do y'all think about Shannon Sharp, Skip Bayless, parting ways?
You know, two of my favorite songs of all time that's in my top 100 has something to do with heat. Number one, you have the DMX song called The Heat Is On. All y'all people ready to fly, the heat is on. All right, y'all know that? That was off the Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood album, his second album. And it's a song called The Heat Is On, down the street. I think that song was on Beverly Hills Cop, one of those Beverly Hills Cops movies. It was either the first one or the second one, probably the second one. But anyways, so the heat was definitely on last night as the Miami Heat took care of business by defeating the Boston Celtics 4-3 in a best-of-7 series. This was a good season for the Boston Celtics, but I will call this season a failure because you got eliminated by a number 8 seed. And it wasn't because you had injured players. Okay? The Miami Heat, they took care of business. I'm not going to lie. Once the Heat, the way the Miami Heat lost Game 6, I said, you know what? Yeah. Celtics going to blow them out the water on Game 7. Because normally, when things like that happen, whenever you lose a close game like that in the fashion, in the design, the way they lost it, I mean, it almost reminded me of Final Destination, except for it wasn't about death. It was all about the death of the Miami Heat season. That was one of those things where death was just like, hey, you know what? I don't care what you do, Miami Heat. I'm going to make sure you lose. And you keep cheating the death of your season. I'm going to design your death even more. I'm going to make it even more, like, ridiculous. But guess what? They prevailed. And shout out to the Miami Heat. Before I start talking about the actual game, what I enjoyed in the audience, in the stands, were you saw Alonzo Mourning. At first, I'm like, man, that dude looked like Alonzo Mourning. And it was actually Alonzo Mourning. And Pat Riley. And you talk about the Miami Heat culture. Those two, hey, they started the Miami Heat culture together. You know, when he first got there, did he get Alonzo Mourning his first year there? I'm going to have to go back and look. But Alonzo Mourning was the first superstar that they had. Well, if Glenn Rice was still there, then I'm not going to say Mourning was the first star that they had, okay? But I think Pat Riley got there. When he got there, he acquired Alonzo Mourning in a trade. I'm going to have to go back and look at that. But anyways, those two men, as the coach and the player of those Heat teams who, hey, they kept facing those Chicago Bulls, man, you know. Oh, and also, the irony of it is that they lost to the New York Knicks when the Knicks were the number 8 seed and the Heat was the number 1 seed. Or was it 2-7, one of them? So it's good to see the Miami Heat being on the flip side of that, all right? Now, the way this game went, I'm going to tell you something, man. The more I watch this, I kept thinking throughout this series, what the hell, why is Al Horford out there? Why is he out there? Like, what the hell happened to Al Horford? Like, if we're going to place anybody to place blame on why the Boston Celtics lost, I'm blaming Al Horford. Al Horford has a back-to-the-basket game. At least he used to have that. Use it. There were plays, man, where when they do a switch, all of a sudden, you had a guard. You had Kyle Lowry on Al Horford. And I see Al Horford just doing everything possible to just kick the ball out to the three-point line. Like, dude, that's an easy bucket. As good a defender as Kyle Lowry is, he should not be able to match up with Al Horford. And that's the same problem I had with Al Horford last year in the NBA Finals when they faced the Warriors. Hey, dude, on the switch, you have Steph Curry on you. You're 7 feet tall, bro. You're 7 feet tall. Come on, man. Like, what's up? You're 7 feet. Like, can we get back to the long? Man, I miss the days, the good old days where 7-footers were proud to be 7 feet. You remember in the movie Eddie where they had Yvonne make basket? Okay? He was proud to be 7 feet and he was proud to make basket. Okay? You know, he didn't speak much of the English language, but he knew that he was proud to make basket. And he knew that, and guess what? The dude was proud to say, I'm 7 feet. I'm 7 feet. So whenever he had a little dude on him, Yvonne, make basket. Give me ball. Give me the ball. Even on the movie, The Sixth Man, I forgot the name of the guy who was the 7-footer. He wanted to take the 3-pointer. They told him not to take 3-pointer, but he was proud to be 7 feet, right? They'll say all this about him, about his game, but he said, well, at least I'm 7 foot. Do you understand what I'm saying? Use your 7 feet. Oh, well, he's 6'11". Well, use your 6'11", okay? Al Horford averaged 6 points, 6 rebounds. That's a problem there. Why the hell are you not in double digits? All he doing is camping out on the three-point line. You are a liability, dude. Come off the bench. And I'm not a Boston Celtics fan, but I'm not a Boston Celtics hater. I just like to watch good basketball. Yeah, I didn't play in the pros, but guess what? That's common sense. Anybody who plays the game, when you're taller than somebody, you use your height to your advantage. And just like when you can jump higher than somebody, you use that your leaping ability to your advantage. When you are faster than everybody, you use your speed to your advantage. When you can shoot from the perimeter, you use your speed to your advantage. When you are strong, you use your strength to your advantage. When you are 7 feet, you use your 7 foot height to your advantage, dude. Jaylen Brown, yo, man, like, as a Rockets fan, people are like, yeah, by Ime Udoka being the head coach, that means, hey, we're going to get first dibs on Jaylen Brown. Get Jaylen Brown. No, I do not want Jaylen Brown as a Houston Rocket if they're going to pay him the max. No, I do not want Jaylen Brown as a Houston Rocket if we got to give up Jalen Green. No, I don't want Jaylen Brown as a Houston Rocket if we got to give up Alperen Sengun. No, I don't want Jaylen Brown as a Rocket if we got to give up Jabari Smith Jr. No, I don't want Jaylen Brown as a Houston Rocket if we got to give up Kenyon Martin Jr. No, I don't want Jaylen Brown as a Houston Rocket if that means we got to give up KPJ. Because I think KPJ is a better hooper than Jaylen Brown. I think Jaylen Brown, he gets the numbers he get because he in a situation where most role players, if you put them in a situation where, guess what? Hey, you're going to be the first elite scorer on the game. Just go get buckets. Just shoot as many shots as you need. You have the green light. Guess what? They're going to score 20-some points per game. Watching this dude, I mean, people say he's an all-time first-team defender. It took 5 games for him to finally say, oh, well, let me try to guard Jimmy Butler. Let me guard Jimmy. They wasn't double-teaming Jimmy Butler. I don't know who was guarding. They have the guy. What's the kid that come off the bench? He has the dreads, man. He's real good. I think he's going to be a good two-way player in this league. I forgot the young man's name. I'm sorry, man. Please forgive me, okay? But, hey, he played some good defense on Jimmy Butler. But why the hell Jaylen Brown wasn't guarding him? Now, you didn't put Jason Tatum on him because, all right, Jason Tatum is running point guard. He's their best ball handler. He got a score. He has a lot he has to do. Jaylen Brown, I expect a player like Jaylen Brown to be a defensive stopper. I really don't see how he's averaged 26 points per game during the regular season. I guess whenever they played against the lower level teams, he probably, that's the games where he got like 30, 35 points. But when he played the more competitive teams, he probably scored like 15 to 16. But no, is he a good dribbler of the basketball? No. Is he a good passer? No. Is he a real good shooter? No. Is he a real good free throw shooter? No. Is he a real good defender? He alright. He alright on defense. I guess on help defense, but to get the max, no. Houston Rockets, better not pay that dude the max, man. Do not. Do not. I could see if we didn't have any good two-way players on the team already. And y'all know, hey, I've said what I need to say about KPJ and all that, and I say KPJ, I really believe that he should be playing the Manu Ginobili role where he comes off the bench and he will be a lethal-ass six-man. I'm not talking about Lou Williams six-man. I'm not talking about Jamal Crawford six-man. I'm talking Benny the Microwave Johnson off the bench. I'm talking Ricky Pierce coming off the bench dropping 22 a game. I'm talking about Manu Ginobili, Hall of Famer type numbers. Because he's a left-handed like Ginobili. He's fearless. He can take the ball to the basket. He can catch and shoot and create his own shot. Hey, let him do that. But I'd rather have KPJ starting than have Jaylen Green. I mean, excuse me, Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Green, that's the right color we want. All right, we don't want Brown. You can keep Brown. Shit, I'll take Nino Brown over Jaylen Brown, bro. And I'm not saying Jaylen Brown is a scrub. He can ball. I believe that what Jaylen Brown is, if Jaylen Brown is averaging more than like 16 points per game on your team, then I don't think you're going to win a championship. Because I believe most of his energy should be focusing on trying to lock down the other team's leading scorer. And he wasn't trying to do that with Jimmy Butler. I seen him on Jimmy Butler a few times, but I'm like, no, Jaylen Brown should not be getting the same treatment as Jason Tatum because he's not the offensive threat that Jason Tatum is. Celtics, y'all need a point guard for real. I don't know what happened to Malcolm Brogdon. I mean, I really don't know. I really do not know. But hey, I'm a Rockets fan, you know what I'm saying? But the Miami Heat, man, that Jacob Martin dude, where the hell did he come from? I mean, that dude there was balling. I know Jimmy Buckets, he deserved to get the MVP, Eastern Conference MVP, Conference Finals MVP. But that Jacob Martin, man, like, the way he was balling, I wouldn't have been surprised if they would have been co-MVPs, or hell, if he would have got it. Because his shooting display was ridiculous. I think he averaged like 20 a game. Jimmy averaged about 26. Okay, so that's a difference, but look at the three-point percentage. Your young man was shooting 48-49% from three. Like, that's unheard of unless you're Klay Thompson or Steph Curry or Dame Lillard or Kevin Durant, right? But, yeah, that dude there was balling. Kyle Lowry was bringing some good veteran leadership. I mean, Bam was doing his thing, man, playing real good defense all over the place, help defense, crashing the boards. And that's the thing, man. When you got a defender like Bam, you can't have Al Horford just sitting at the three-point line. Like, come on, man. He has let Al Horford utilize the tools that he has in his toolbox. I mean, you know, but shout out to the Miami Heat, man. Real good season. Going up against the Denver Nuggets. Going up against the Denver Nuggets, man. How about them Nuggets? Going up against them Nuggets, man. I can't wait to see that matchup, man. But, yeah, Boston Celtics, yeah, I picked Celtics in six because they have more triple threat players on their team. But the thing about it is, you know, when the triple threat players when they lack awareness when and when not to you to take certain shots or make certain passes or whatever, or decide to go to one-on-one, then guess what? You're going to lose, and that's what happened. We have our NBA Finals matchup, people. We have the Heat of Miami versus the Nuggets of Denver. I'm going to tell you something, man. Home court advantage is going to mean a lot in this series. Because both of these two teams, you know, where they're at, the cities that they're in, different types of climate. In Miami, in the summertime, humid, hot, okay? In Denver, okay, the high altitude. So how is that going to affect the Miami Heat players? And how is that hot humidity is going to affect the Denver Nuggets players? It probably won't affect them that much. Maybe not. It depends what they're doing on that off time. Because inside the game is supposed to be, you know, air conditioned. The air's supposed to be proper, right? So we'll see. But, man, I'm going to tell you something, man. These Denver Nuggets. I got the Nuggets in five in this one, people. I got the Nuggets in five. I like Jimmy Butler. I really do. But Jokic, let me tell you something. Bam is a real good defender. He doesn't have enough rocks in his pocket to be able to defend Jokic. He does not. Jokic is going to hit them with that back-to-the-basket game. And then guess what? When they double, guess what? They got shooters. Michael Porter Jr. You know, that's going to be a good matchup. You know, I think Michael Porter Jr. is shooting like 44-45% from three. Him and Jacob Martin, that's going to be a real good three-point contest. Out on the perimeter, as far as scores, offensive defense, Jamal Murray versus Jimmy Butler, that's going to be a real good matchup. But, dude, Nikola Jokic is that dude. I'm telling you. Plus, we're going to have, you know, the last time – well, it wasn't the last time these two teams played, but these two teams – was it earlier this year or last year when they played – You know, I almost got into a brawl. It was pretty intense. You know, you had Marcus Morris. Was it Marcus Morris or Markieff Morris? One of the Morris twins, you know, did a vicious elbow to Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic didn't like that. Then he returned the favor. Morris, our twin, is out for a while. Shit, I think he was out for the season, yo. And Jimmy Butler was like, okay, I got something for you. I got something for you, bro. I'm coming for y'all. All right, see me out back. And they said the Miami Heat players, they was out at the locker room of the Denver Nuggets locker room, you know, waiting for some action, you know. Nothing happened, thank God. But I think that's all in forgiven, I believe. I hope so, because I believe they played several times since then. I don't think any other incidents happened. But, of course, you know, ESPN, they're going to play that, highlight that. Why? Because they want drama. You know, as the words of the great Chameleonaire, he says, controversy sells. Controversy sales. Well, I'm missing that word up. Drama sales. But I got the Denver Nuggets winning this one, though, man. Like, they have no answer for Nikola Jokic. It's all about what Nikola Jokic is going to do. Now, who knows? You know, the Heat might steal the first game. Why? Because the Nuggets been resting. It felt like almost a month, right? but I got the Nuggets in five. It may go to six. I hope it goes to six. You know, I want it to, whether if it's six games or seven games, I want to be able to watch an NBA Finals game on Father's Day. I like watching the NBA Finals on Father's Day. Get a chance to kick back and watch that. But I have the Nuggets winning this series. Okay, I feel like they have the better player, Nikola Jokic. See, the Boston Celtics, they did not pose a threat in the low post, even though they could have with Jason Tatum. Hell, he's 6'10". Jaylen Brown is 6'8", 6'7". He could have posed a threat in the post, but none of them wanted that action. Now, Marcus Smart did, but he's smaller, you know? So I believe that Nikola Jokic, see, he's going to get down there in that post. And see, he can shoot the three. He shoots the three better than Al Horford. But, you know, he's going to get down there in that post, too. He's not going to play with you. So I got the Denver Nuggets taking care of business in this one. But I'm looking forward to a real good competitive series. I would not be surprised if the Miami Heat won. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I would want for Jimmy Butler to get a ring. And, hell, this might be his last chance, right? But I'm looking at the Nuggets taking care of business in this one. And I'm not saying I want the Nuggets to win. I just have the Nuggets winning this one. I'm looking at the optics of it, you know, because Nikola Jokic is that dude. I'm not going to lie. I was one of the many doubters of Nikola Jokic because I'm like, this dude here? They talking about him getting a third freaking MVP award? This dude here? Come on, man. Like, where they do that at? Where they do that at, right? But I think this is going to be a real good series. I really do. Got two good coaches, Mike Malone and Eric Spoelstra, two coaches who have been coaching their teams for a good time, seems like forever. When you're counting basketball years, Spoelstra has been the Miami Heat coach for what? Is it 14 years, 15 years? Well, at least 10 years. Mike Malone been the Denver Nuggets coach for 8 years. So it goes to show, hey, man, you know, some coaches, you got to get them a chance. Some coaches, yeah, you need to get out, get them the hell up out of there. But some coaches, you got to get them a chance. All right. And I think this is going to be a real good series. But I got the Nuggets taking care of business. So I said Denver in five. I'm not saying Denver is going to blow them out. I think this is going to be close games. I think the largest margin might be no more than like 10 points. But I got the Denver Nuggets taking care of business on this. Y'all share your thoughts. Let me know who do you think is going to win this series.
All right, more Ezra Miller news, people. Okay, so the director of The Flash, Andy Macciati, dude says that if he were to make a sequel to The Flash movie, he will not consider recasting Ezra Miller. He says Ezra Miller's off the movie set, you know, the situations that he's getting himself into, yeah, that would not make him recasting Ezra. Says nobody would be able to do a better job than Ezra. I think that's pretty lame and it's dead ass wrong. What the hell are you talking about, Andy? Are you tripping? In the words of Chucky, damn you, Andy! Like, what the hell, bro? Like, are you serious? Ezra Miller, I believe he plays a real good Barry Allen. But I do not believe he plays a good enough Barry Allen to where he is irreplaceable. Now, if we're talking about, okay, excluding his issues that he's doing, his criminal behavior, okay, I can see that. But because we cannot exclude his criminal behavior, you know, he has to be recast, man. He has to be recast. I don't care how great he does in this movie. And I'm going to tell you something. People are going to go see the movie to see The Flash and to see Michael Keaton as Batman and to see Supergirl. Nobody's going to go to this movie to see Ezra Miller. You're lying if you're saying you're going to go see this movie because it's Ezra Miller. You're going to go see it because it's The Flash. Okay? It's not Ezra Miller's Flash. It's The Flash. He's playing The Flash. However amount of money this movie is going to make, I guarantee you. Well, unfortunately, I can't prove the guarantee, can I? But I believe that if you cast Grant Gustin as the Flash in the movie, guess what? The movie's still going to make equivalent or better. I mean, if you cast Zac Efron, the movie's still going to be equivalent and better or make more. I mean, it's a whole lot of actors. I mean, you cast as Flash. I mean, I'm not, of course, you don't just cast anybody, but there are plenty of actors that are on Ezra Miller's level and above Ezra Miller's level. So he ain't that, he's not that special. Ezra's not that special. I mean, that's the way I look at it. Because what did Ezra Miller do before The Flash? Who do you know saying, yeah, I'm going to go see that new Ezra Miller movie? No, you're going to go see The Flash. And I think he played The Flash real good. The scene in the Snyderverse when he's running in the Speed Force, that's one of my favorite scenes ever in a movie because it just gives me chills. It gives me goosebumps, man. It really does. But Andy is tripping, man. And then you have the producer of the movie making a statement that, yeah, they never considered recasting due to his troubles. I'm so quick to say off the field or off the court, like it's football or basketball or baseball, but it's acting, you know, off the movie set troubles. You know, and you know, the reason why they're saying this nonsense is because they're gassed up right now. Their chest is out. When you have one of the greatest movie actors of all time in Tom Cruise, Jerry freaking Maguire, Ethan Hunt, you know, say that, hey, this film is a masterpiece and praising Ezra Miller. Yeah, you're going to be like, oh, well, yeah, man, people going to forget about it, you know. They're going to forget about it, you know, just like R. Kelly. All that. Well, R. Kelly is in jail. Okay. Yeah, I appreciate R. Kelly's music, but I wouldn't want to be around him personally though. Now with Ezra, now I can see if he was being held accountable. He's not facing any jail time right now. I mean, but he deserved. Hey, R. Kelly lost. I'm pretty sure he lost sponsorships and money and gigs because of his behavior. So Ezra Miller should lose his, not just because of R. Kelly lost his, but because his persistent behavior, his persistently bad behavior. In the words of the great Charlie Murphy, he's a habitual line stepper. He steps beyond the line, across the line. Hell, he's and guess what? They moving the line for him. I don't like that. Do not like it at all. Do not like it one bit. Hey people, you know, your favorite YouTubers, your favorite movie reviewers. Hopefully I'm one of them, but I haven't seen the movie yet. But the ones who seen the movie, oh, it's great. This movie's great. Ezra Miller did the doggone thing. Y'all need to stop that. But you know, you got a lot of people, they don't want to see Ezra Miller. They don't want to see justice served with him. They don't. But the studio is gassed up, so they're going to continue to think like that because folks are praising the movie, saying it's a masterpiece, saying his performance is phenomenal. It's so phenomenal. It's so great. Guess what? It makes you forget about the crimes he's committed. Makes you forget about it. Must be some performance. I don't believe it's all that. I don't. I don't even have to see the movie to believe it's all that. But what is going to take in order to get him out of there, in order to get Ezra Miller out of there, hey, it's just going to have to get crappy reviews and it's just going to have to not make money. But studios, they believe that they're going to make money with this film. And maybe they will. Maybe they won't. I don't know. I'm not sure how much they're going to make. But I can tell you this. I do not like the fact that this dude continues to get all this praise like this. Well, he can get the praise because he has the performance. performance in the movie took place before his actions, I believe. So, but I do think that he should be recast. I'm not going to bat an eye if he gets recast. I'm not. I mean, this is different from with the Chadwick Boseman thing, because Chadwick Boseman had died. So it's, you're still processing that. Now, I do believe they should recast T'Challa, though. They should recast T'Challa. I do believe that. T'Challa should be recast. But guess what? Yeah, Ezra Miller needs to be recast as The Flash. I'm not saying he can never work in this business again. I'm saying that like I got some sort of say-so. I have no say-so in this. But anyways, y'all share your thoughts. Tell me what y'all think about that. Once again, thank y'all for tuning in. It's Student of the Game Podcast. Peace out.
Anthony Davis is so inconsistent. It's like he's, if he's not hurt, he's just disinterested. You know, he plays, he has an attitude as if he plays whatever he wants to play. He doesn't want to help LeBron James. He doesn't want to help him at all. I swear, man. I swear, if I hear that another time, I'm going to just get angry and angry and angry until I possibly turn into the Incredible Hulk. Yeah, that, I mean, it's not all Anthony Davis' fault. You know what? A lot of these announcers, these sports personalities that we see on TV, and I'm going to call them out. Okay, you got the Shannon Sharp, even Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless would defend LeBron James over Anthony Davis. LeSean McCoy, Joy Taylor, Rick Bucher, okay? Chris Broussard, Nick Wright, Screaming A. Smith. Yeah, I'm going to call names. I'm not going to do the anonymous thing. I'm going to call names because what could they possibly do to me? They all could jump me, yeah. Wouldn't that be something? Like sports personalities from two different networks, from Fox Sports and ESPN, jump me? If they jump me, all I want to know is, who's got my back? Who's got my back? Well, I know five people for damn sure that has my back. It's my wife and my four kids and my friends, all right? So, anyways, but for real, man, Anthony Davis is getting all the criticism, but not enough compliments. Now, is he responsible partially? Yes. You know why? Because they're a team. It baffles me that they're pushing the narrative where it's, you know, does LeBron James need a third superstar? Does LeBron James need a third superstar? I'm sorry. I thought the team was called the Los Angeles Lakers. Does LeBron James need a third superstar? How can LeBron James get help? How can you get LeBron James help? You know, it reminds me of like somebody, well, I'm not going to use forget that. I was about to try to compare it to a marriage, but I have to hit pause right there because playing on a basketball team when it's your job, that is not the same thing as a marriage. You sign a contract for better or for worse, and you make vows before God. When they're signing their NBA and NFL contracts, I have not heard of anyone saying they're signed on and they made a vow before God to stay with this team and that team. Okay. Now, but it's a big, huge problem when there is a team. You're supposed to be a team, but it's all about helping LeBron. It's all about helping LeBron. No, it's all about the team. It's all about the team. You know, Anthony Davis, when he doesn't get his touches, yeah, his numbers doesn't look good. Does not look good. That's a fact. All you people keep talking about LeBron James right now is better than Anthony Davis. No, he is not. He is not better than Anthony Davis right now. Okay, he's just not. That will be the equivalent to, how can I describe it? You know what? That will be like saying Old Man Logan is better than Captain America right now. Okay. Now, I understand, hey, a match between Captain America and Wolverine, you know what? Both in their prime, it can go back and forth. You can make the argument that Wolverine could win. You can make the argument that Captain America could win. What I do know is both of them in their prime, they're capable of doing this all day. All right? They are. Wolverine's healing factor. Captain America, Super Soldier Serum. Now, in Logan,
Wolverine, he started losing his powers due to the events that happened in the previous Wolverine movie. He was starting to become more mortal, okay? His powers were dwindling away. His healing factor, it took longer to heal. So he started getting old. And when we see him perform like the old Wolverine, it was in spurts. But it was slower, but it was in spurts. He was still a beast. He wasn't a beast of 10 years ago, but he was still a beast. So when LeBron James, when he's out there balling, scoring, 30 points in one half? Yes, he scored 30 points in one half. But do you realize if that was LeBron James of 10 years ago, he would have got 40 points in that half? All right, he would have scored 30 points, but he would not have shown any signs of fatigue in the second half. He's old. Not old for this earth, but old as in basketball years. Now, people talking, they keep talking about, well, see, LeBron James, you know, it's like Draymond Green said, you know, it's LeBron, he's playing more off the ball. This is a LeBron I'm not used to seeing before. He's playing more off the ball. I've never seen this before. Hold up, you didn't see Miami Heat LeBron James? LeBron and D-Wade are both ball dominant. In order for them to have been successful, to have any success, one, each of them will have to show that they could play off the ball. He played off the ball for 4 goddamn years in Miami, dude. But I've never seen this LeBron James before. That's why we lost. That's not why you lost, Golden State. You lost because, hey, Jordan Poole didn't do well. Klay Thompson couldn't shoot. Okay? Had Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole balled the way they were supposed to have balled, y'all would have beat the Golden State Warriors. Y'all would have beat the Los Angeles Lakers. But now, it's just this LeBron James, I've never seen him like this before. And you know, that's cap, right? That's Draymond Green capping right there. So that way, hey, 10 years from now, when LeBron James is finally retired, when they do his equivalent to The Last Dance, which it's a fact that he has the producers, the cameramen and women from Michael Jordan's The Last Dance, they're filming him right now. That right there, that's going to play. That's going to be a clip on there. Draymond Green is making sure he's getting his clip on there. All right. And he's also part of the whole Clutch Sports family, which is cool. That's fine. But I'm just stating facts. Don't believe me? Look it up. But LeBron, man, you know, like we got to get out of that, man. Like, we're not saying that to anybody else. We're not saying, oh, does Kevin Durant need a third or fourth star over there? We keep saying that with LeBron James. No, it's all about that team, man. But Anthony Davis, see, what y'all got to have to understand is that Anthony Davis is in a situation where there's no way in hell that offense is going to be revolved around him. Look at the guards they have. They have some decent triple threat guards, okay? Dennis Schroeder, Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell. These are three guards who, let me tell you something. Is now the number one, I believe it all starts from LeBron. Why? Because what do we say about LeBron? He's the smartest player in the game. One of the smartest players ever to play the game mentally and physically and spiritually, all that. He knows the plays before the play is about to happen. He can diagnose any doggone defensive coverage, right? And you mean to tell me all the dissecting of defenses that he knows that he's capable of doing, he doesn't have an offensive counterplay that involves Anthony Davis getting the ball, even when he has guards on him? Okay, that right there, if LeBron James is the genius that we supposedly know him to be, well, then that means he's doing it on purpose, not giving the ball to Anthony Davis. He's doing it on purpose. Like, you can look at the almost the last possession of the game. Let's go to the second to last possession of the game against the Nuggets. He has Aaron Gordon on him. Aaron Gordon is faster than him. He's quicker than him. Just as strong as him. More athletic right now. You're not going to get around him. I mean, you could, but you did the switch. So that means you had Nikola Jokic on you. Now, Guess what? Aaron Gordon is on Anthony Davis. But guess what? Aaron Gordon is smaller than Anthony Davis. Aaron Gordon is smaller than him. AD can get a shot off on him. But LeBron, you got Nikola Jokic on you. He didn't take advantage of Nikola Jokic on him. So what he should have done, he should have given the ball to Anthony Davis. And then you go to the last possession of the game. He goes to the basket, collapsed the defense. Anthony Davis wide open, doesn't get the ball off to him. I mean, but I respect the fact that LeBron James trying to go take the shot, because a lot of times we say, hey, he should have passed. He should not have passed the ball. He should have shot it. Those times he had the shot. Now, I do believe that he did have a shot multiple times against Aaron Gordon. He had the, I think he could have got the elbow jump off. I think he could have got a fadeaway jump off before Jamal Murray came and, you know, stuffed the ball on him. Hell, he could have shot that long three. He shoots it any other time. So, you know, he could have got a, LeBron could have gotten a, he should have been able to get a shot off. But, hey, he took the risk. Didn't work well out. Didn't turn out good for him. Now, but LeBron James looking you off, LeBron is going to get a pass, okay? And if you AD, you probably like, man, this dude a four-time champion. You know, he always in the conference finals and stuff. Okay, he's my elder. All right, cool. I understand that. I get it. Now, if Austin Reeves looking off Anthony Davis in the post when he's open and shooting up a three, hell no. That's not supposed to happen. Darvin Ham is, I don't think Darvin Ham should have been allowing that. But Austin Reeves, he was making threes. Yeah. Yeah. But you're Austin Reeves. Know your role. Dennis Schroeder, know your role. D'Angelo Russell, know your role. These three guards, whenever they're in the game and handling the ball, they act as if, yeah, I'm the number two dude. I'm the captain. I'm the co-captain with LeBron. No, you're not. It's Anthony Davis. Yeah, well, Anthony Davis should just tell him, give me the damn ball. Give me the damn ball. What if that's not his personality? Does that mean he should not get the ball? But I'm not, and I do believe he should demand the ball. Because he does a lot of hard work on defense also. I could see if he does it. See, folks got on DeAndre Ayton when it said DeAndre Ayton not giving effort on defense, right? And really what it is, man, Jokic, like, hey, you guard Jokic. You guard Nikola Jokic. That's the thing, man. What I talk about with guarding somebody who keeps posting you up and you can't stop it. Or it's very difficult for you to stop because that person is so skilled. They're big, they're size, or whatever. They know how to get their shots off. You know, they know how to manipulate the defense. That is hard to do. That's why I say whenever LeBron James is shooting three-pointers or whenever any power forward or center, you're shooting three-pointers and you have a smaller defender on you or you have someone who can't guard you on you, yeah, you're letting them off the hook. That doesn't matter if you make 10 threes in a row. It's like, hey, there's only one to two things going to happen. We can win or lose the game. But if we lose, I lose, and I'm less frustrated when I lose because you took a lot of three-pointers. But if you were posting me up and dominating me in the low, in the paint and all that, yeah, I'm going to be very frustrated. I'll be frustrated in the win. It's like, God damn, y'all saw what he was doing to me? I mean, I'm telling you, that's human nature. Human nature, most of us do not like to guard the post. Now, I mean, you have to be tough to guard that post. Think about that. I mean, you got to be tough. Hey, in real life, you got to have tough security to man that post or the woman that post. The same way in the NBA. But the fact that you have three role players, and they are role players. They're not scrubs. They are role players. Because when the team loses, they're not getting the criticism Anthony Davis is getting. When they win, like now when they do good and in a victory, yeah, they get a lot of props as if they are the second superstar on the team. But you have to know your role. Get the ball to Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is open plenty of times where he has a defender sealed. You know, that window is just normally a couple seconds. They're professional ball players. They should be able to make that entry pass. And that's another thing. A lot of players, they do not know the funda. Either they don't know, don't show, don't care about making a good entry pass to the post. You know? And a lot of them, they don't care to do it. They don't know how to do it. They can learn how to do it. And once again, you have Anthony Davis. A lot of times he gets so open, hey, man, just throw it in that direction. Well, they threw him some lobs and stuff. I'm not talking about lobs. See, now if you only want to pass the ball to your big man and be a lobs, that you're telling me, you're pretty much telling me that, oh, you're trying to get the highlights. You know, because there's no highlight doing like how they come down the court, give the ball to the big man in low post, right? I gotcha. But, yeah, man. And, you know, and this is what happens when any power forward or center who's an all-star level, when they play alongside LeBron James, your number's going to dip because it's the LeBron James system. But it shouldn't dip when you have your role players in there and LeBron is, you know, not in the game. But, yeah, that off-the-ball stuff with LeBron, he has no choice but to play off the ball nowadays because he gets tired. It's his legs. It used to be when he first got to LA, okay, he was slacking off. He was just resting on defense, okay, saving all his energy for offense. But now it's to the point where it's like, man, I can't have the ball in my hands all the time. So let me go spot up over here. Get some rest in the corner, you know, get my PJ Tucker on, you know, or Kevin Love on when he played for the Cavs. Let me go do that. So that's why he does that. Like all this, oh yeah, he's playing off the ball. Whatever, man. That ain't the case. That ain't the case at all. That ain't the case. And let's stop saying LeBron James led this team to the playoffs. Man, he was out for like 3 weeks. Hey, man, that was AD and the role players, man. So now AD has to take a back seat. But if you're AD, at the same time, you knew what you was getting into, fam. You got your ring, cool, in the bubble, but it's a ring. And because the way I look at it, if you got married during COVID and a lot of people wasn't able to attend your wedding who normally was able to attend it if it wasn't COVID, it's still a marriage, right? Well, okay, so that's still a championship. Yeah, like if the people who complain about that, if your team won that championship, you're going to brag and boast about it. All right? I respect that. And it doesn't matter if other people want to verbally put an asterisk on it because there's no real-life asterisk on it. What the commissioner say, bro? What the commissioner say? But, yeah, we got to stop blaming AD, giving all the blame to AD. Yeah, man, I have a lot to say on this. All right, so we just got news that the Fantastic Forecasting has been leaked. I repeat, it has been leaked. Okay, so it looks like Margaret Roby is going to be Sue Storm. Adam Driver would be Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic. Sue Storm is the Invisible Woman, for those who are unaware. David Diggs will be Ben Grimm, the Thing. I like David Diggs, he's good. And Paul Mescal as Johnny Storm, the Human Torch. I'm gonna be honest with you, most of the time, whenever there's an actor or actress, when they cast as a movie, especially in a comic book movie, normally it's at least one or two things that I may have seen him or her in. I can straight up confess, I have not seen Paul Mescal in anything. Does that mean he's been doing nothing? No. That just means I need to watch more movies and watch more shows. Okay? So, I can't really comment too much on how good he can be as Johnny Storm. Based on the look of him, I don't really see him as Johnny Storm. I don't know. But you can't just go by a current picture of an actor or actress, especially when they're playing in a comic book movie, right? Because they have to train for the role. They train for the role. So I'm pretty sure this young man is going to train for the role. And whenever Fantastic Four comes out and whenever he makes his appearance, I expect him to do a good job. Okay. Adam Driver. Okay. Adam Driver. Let me see. I can see Adam Driver as Reed Richards. I could also see him as Dr. Doom, but I guess if he played Dr. Doom, that would be kind of in the same ballpark of kind of playing this, a similar character as Kylo Ren in Star Wars. You know, so he's capable of going dark with it. And, you know, because of that, I can understand why he would be cast as Reed Richards. Because I believe the two iterations of Reed Richards that we, well, the three iterations that we received of Reed Richards for a live action film, I think each character did a good job playing Reed Richards, but they played him to the, you know, he played him, they played the character, portrayed the character as more of the kind of corny, well, kind of corny, kind of quirky, kind of, you know, geek. And it's nothing wrong with being a geek. Hell, I'm a geek. But I think they played it too geeky, kind of. I think it would have been better had, you know, allow us to see Reed Richards' monster. The monstrous side of him, right? And I'm not saying Adam Driver, he's going to come fresh out the gate showing that, hey, I'm Reed Richards, I'm a motherfucking monster. I'm not saying he's about to come out like that. But what I am, but I believe because we've seen him as Kylo Ren and in other roles where he's shown, hey, he can be that savage. You know, it's kind of like if Denzel Washington, Samuel L. Jackson, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Leonardo DiCaprio, if one of them was to take on the role of Reed Richards, well, you know, each of those actors is capable of unleashing that beast, you know? So they don't have to unleash the beast throughout the whole duration of the movie. But, you know, hey, it could be like 5, 6, 7 seconds, or it can be just a look that they could give or the way they say something where you think, oh, okay, this dude means business. And I'm not saying the other Reed Richards didn't mean business. And I'm not saying Reed Richards doesn't mean business. It's just that we never get to see the dark side or just see him get angry, you know? So, and I believe for somebody, for them, I mean, when you think about it, Reed Richards is considered one of the most brilliant minds, one of the most smartest people in the Marvel Universe. So, I want to see some frustration from him. Because when you're a person who's the smartest in the universe, or in the room all the time amongst other smart people, you're not going to always be happy-go-lucky all the time. You're not. You're going to have some type of chip on your shoulder or some type of frustration of like, why y'all just can't get it, you know? Think about it. You know, Michael Jordan, one of the GOATs, one of the greatest of all time, you know, he gets frustrated with people, you know? And I'm not saying he needs to be a bad team player or anything like that, but where's the conflict? You know, outside of the conflict being Dr. Doom, where's the conflict? And I think that's what made the previous Fantastic Four live action movies pretty stale. And that's part of the reason why I'm not really even looking forward to the Fantastic Four. I mean, I got no problem with them doing a Fantastic Four movie and doing the casting, but I mean, shoot, man, I'm looking forward to the X-Men. But we got to wait till the Fantastic Four has arrived in the MCU before we get the X-Men. But I hope this movie ends up being good. But you know what? Who knows if they're going to appear in the movie? They may appear in the next Avengers movie or something. You know how sometimes you have certain characters, they may, or heroes, they'll appear in a solo movie or another Doctor Strange or Ant-Man or Black Panther movie. And I think that would be interesting also, you know, because the Black Panther and Fantastic Four, they tend to team up from time to time. And, you know, we need to. It's even more reason to bring back T'Challa. But I'm looking forward to it. I can dig the casting. Like I say, Margot Robbie, she's phenomenal as Harley Quinn. She's real good. I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't mind if she played both. But what, like I said, though, this is rumors. And I said Navee Diggs is David Diggs. I'm sorry. I hate it when people jack up my name. So I sincerely apologize. It was early in the morning as I was recording that part of the podcast. But anyway, share your thoughts in the comment section below and let me know what you think about the potential casting of Fantastic Four.